here. Okay, we're going to talk about Mary, but before we do that, there's a little video, so just enjoy this video.
Think that the Messiah, the new king of Israel, could be born here?
Greetings, Elizabeth.
Mary, may you be blessed among all women.
He spoke to me too. The angel in a dream. He told me, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife.
They said the one who is about to be born. They say they have seen the stars.
There's already talk that the wise men left because they found what they were looking for.
The king of the Judeans.
I'm the king of the Judeans!
Your son will mean the ruin of many.
God will cast a shadow over you. Those were the words the angel said. He will be king for a reign without end.
The Son of Man will suffer. He will be killed.
Nothing is impossible for him.
The thoughts of all hearts will be revealed.
Nothing is impossible for God.
Mother, rejoice and be happy.
Here I am.
I don't know if you want to go watch the movie or if it's even available anymore, but what a great summary of this amazing woman, Mary. As we look at this woman, I have to be very careful. I'll be honest with you. Let me see if I can get to the right one. I'm in the wrong way. Okay. Different clicker, different style. Okay. I don't know if you remember, but about 20 years ago, Yo Mama jokes went around. Did they go around the whole world? Yo Mama jokes? Remember those? Okay. And so one of the ways you get somebody really angry, I saw this happen actually, you start talking about their mom, right? Yo Mama this, Yo Mama so dumb, Yo Mama so whatever. And so here's what I'm supposed to do, or I'm doing this morning. I'm talking about God's mom, right? And so I'm approaching this with a little bit of humility and a little bit of fear as I, okay, we're talking about Jesus' mom, but I'm excited about just looking at this woman's life and the witness that she is and what Scripture shares with us. So if you have a Bible, open, if you would, to Luke chapter 1. And we'll look at this story, just a piece of her life. Obviously, the trailer for that movie talked about more of her life than we're going to have time to cover today. But just want to look at this passage about Christmas and what happened with Mary, learning that she would be the mother of Jesus. Man, I just can't imagine all that went into it. And so Luke chapter 1, we'll start reading in verse 26. But before we do that, let me just pray again. Father, we ask for your help as we look at this woman who was mother to your son. I pray that we can learn from her, Lord, that we can be inspired, and your scripture will come to light as your Holy Spirit is our teacher. And so we ask for that this morning. And help each one of us to be receptive. Lord, nobody needs to hear from me. We all need to connect with you. So I pray that can be what happens today. In Jesus' name, Amen. Well, Luke chapter 1, we're going to read verse 26 and 27 as we get into the story here. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. In the sixth month of what? The sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, which is the story before that. See? So that's what we're talking about. In the sixth month, angel Gabriel sent to Nazareth. Verse 27, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Okay, so as we're reading verse 27, there's a word that came through a couple of times there. Maybe you heard it. What was it? Virgin, right? And so you have in your notes some blanks to fill in. And so here's the first one for you. She was chaste. And so all the words you'll fill in are going to be C words. And so I had to pick chaste for this one. Have you used the word chaste lately? No. Long time ago that word was maybe used. But no. So chaste, but it means pure, right? And so she was pure, she was chaste, she was actually a virgin. And so why is that important in this story? Well, it means basically she's eligible, right? She's available for what needs to happen. If you look back at Isaiah chapter 7, there was this prophecy. Here's the prophecy. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. So the prophecy says the person who bears the Son of God is going to be a virgin. So since that's what the prophecy says, we need one of those for this to come true. So it was important for Mary actually to be in that state, to be in that condition, that she was eligible to fulfill the prophecy. And so basically, again, she's just a candidate. She's a candidate. And we could go into this a long way and dig and I think about like her best friend who got married the month before this, right? She's married, everything's above board and beautiful and fantastic, but she's no longer available for this, right? And that wasn't bad. That was the course that she was on. But Mary was on this course. And she was available. She was chaste. And so on one side, she made good decisions. She didn't compromise and put herself out of the ability to be eligible for this. But here's what I think about. You know, what if Mary had made mistakes? Did God still love her? Yes. Was she eligible for this position? No. Because it had to be a virgin to have the Son of God. And we'll talk more about that in just a second. But I just think about, okay, she was qualified or a candidate, she was eligible. And the question that comes to mind for me is, are there things that disqualify us from certain roles that God may have for us? Are there things in our lives that have removed us from the ability? God says, I'm looking for someone to do this. In fact, and just an incredible verse I love, actually, in 2 Chronicles 16:9 says this, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him. Now, I get the idea of God just scanning, looking for someone whose heart is blameless, because I have all this blessing, I have this favor I want to pour out, and I'm looking for someone who's a candidate, who's eligible. And I think about our lives. Are we available? Are we eligible? Have we removed ourselves because of something that is in our lives or something that we've done? Again, it's not that God doesn't love us. It's just that we've made ourselves ineligible sometimes. Blessed are the pure in heart, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall what? See God. The pure in heart are able to see God, okay? What does this mean? So just an illustration that's pretty easy. So everybody can see me right now, right? You can see me, okay? Maybe not. Okay, but if I do this, can everybody see me? You guys can see me, right? But the other people cannot. Raise your hand if you can see me. Why can you see me? There's nothing in the way, right? But you guys can't because there's something in the way. And that's all that verse is saying. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are those who have nothing blocking because they can see me. There's nothing blocking. And that's all that's happening here. For Mary, there was nothing blocking her from being available, usable in God's hand for this task. And so what is it? Is there something in our lives? And I'm not trying to go down any guilt trips or anything like that. It's just, Lord, is there something? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and test me. Is there any wicked way? And lead me in the path everlasting. And so remove the sins, the barriers from what God wants to do. Now, here's the cool thing. And we looked at Joseph's story in Matthew chapter 1. And if you look at the lineage of Joseph, right, there are some pretty crazy names in that list. Do you remember? Some really nasty things happened with those people. And so if we were going to say only the perfect people get to be used by God, then that list would be impossible. So what do we see in Matthew chapter 1? We see the grace of God. And so sometimes God does break through, and he uses people that the rest of us would say they're ineligible. So this is the beauty of grace. We don't operate by our performance. We trust in what Jesus has done and in the grace of God. Okay, so again, I'm not trying to say we have to get all of our stuff straight so God can use us. That's not what I'm saying. Grace is amazing, and it is extended to us. Thank God, otherwise we'd all be in trouble. Mary was not perfect, actually. And so if you're from a Catholic background, maybe this is difficult to hear, and just let me be wrong, okay, if you believe the other way. But I believe Scripture makes it clear, you know, she was a virgin, but she wasn't perfect. And so you have, okay, how can Jesus be born from a virgin? That's impossible. How can he be sinless? Now, we could spend long, long, long time on this. One of the essential beliefs in Christianity is the virgin birth, actually. And why is that? It's because Jesus had to be perfect. Because we need a perfect sacrifice to take the sin. Otherwise, it'd be just like the sheep and the goats and the cattle and the other things that were sacrificed before. It wasn't quite enough. But Jesus needed to be perfect. And as we know from Adam, every person has a sin nature. Everybody born from the normal way of things has a sin nature. And so when we get to Jesus, it needs to be different. And so that's why we had to have a virgin birth. Now you may say, okay, well, Mary, if she wasn't perfect, why didn't she pass the sin nature onto Jesus? And so you ladies can all nudge your husband and say, the sin nature must come through you guys, right? It's the guy's fault. And maybe that's it. I don't know exactly, but clearly Jesus being born of a virgin was different than everybody else, right? Mary was not. Her parents were normal, right? She came through the normal process, had a dad, gave her a sin nature. But Jesus was different. Jesus was different because Mary was a virgin. And so just a quick shout out to us to think about our lives and say, okay, what is it? Is there something that God's wanting to pour out on us, a blessing, some kind of favor he wants to give, but he's waiting until we put ourselves in a position where we say, okay, there I can see your heart is blameless toward me. Here comes the favor. Here comes the blessing. She was chaste, the first one. She didn't compromise in some of the decisions that she had made in the past. The second thing is we look at verse 28. Let's keep going here. This is a fun passage right here. So verse 28, and he came. This is Gabriel talking to Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." Okay? But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" Here's the next thing about Mary that we see. She was calculating. All right? I love this exchange right here. Okay, so Gabriel shows up before Mary. He's like, "Greetings, favored one." He's so excited. Okay? The story of how God was going to send his son to earth was a mystery. For hundreds and thousands of years, they didn't understand, but God whispered in the ear of Gabriel, "Go tell Mary this." And Gabriel's like, "Oh, that's a good plan." and he's excited about it. And so he shows up to Mary. He's like, guess what? You're the lucky one. And she's thinking, what in the world is happening here? Right? So she's trying to be careful. She said, okay, what are you saying? What kind of greeting is that? Highly favored one. Right? And you're really shiny. So what's happening here? And then he goes into his speech. I mean, look at this speech. I mean, he is pumped up. It was like this and the Most High and this and forever in the kingdom and David and yeah, whoa, good job, God, you're so smart. Mary, this is great, this is great, this is great. She's like, whoa, I'm a virgin. Time out, buddy, time out. Small detail we need to go over in this process. So she's calculating, she's thinking, okay, I like your sales pitch, Gabriel. That was a great presentation. Double thumbs up. Good job on your presentation. Time out. Time out. By the way, this applies to men as well, okay? So just like when we spoke about Joseph a couple weeks ago, the things that are true for the men were true for the women today, okay? So for the women, the things that we're going to say, they're also true for the guys. But here's what's nice. Mary didn't fall for a great sales pitch, right? She was calculating, and she's like, okay, hang on. What are you saying? I like all that cool stuff, but let me bring up a minor point, right? I know in the States where we do have cars, right, and sometimes they have trouble. The guys, I used to work actually at a mechanic shop, and the guys were like, just get the cars in. Just get them in for oil change or whatever, and we'll find something wrong and tell them this is going to be this many $100 or whatever. And you know who they really love to pick on? The women. They loved to pick on the women. They loved it whenever the husband would go to work and tell his wife to take the car to the shop. Because they would say, well, you got this headlight fluid is out, and your muffler bearing is going to have to be replaced, right? And so they throw these things out there, and the women are like, what? Okay, $600? Okay, fine, just do it, right? And so, but I love Mary here. She's like, okay, great sales pitch. Time out. She's calculating. She's being careful. She's saying, okay, let's just walk through this. And so she had discernment. She had discernment. And it's so fun, you know, for me to see, and I see this often, women who have discernment, right? And their brain is engaged, and they're not just whatever. Sounds great, but okay, hang on. Let's think this through. And I've seen that so many times, and it's a beautiful, amazing thing. And I'm not talking about, you know, in the calculating, like being conniving, right? That's not cool at all. But we're talking about being careful, right? Being careful. So you know what? Let's think this through. I've got a concern. Help me walk through this. And so she was calculating. All right, but let's keep going. In verse 35, so Gabriel helps her out. And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So she gives the time out. Hang on, wait a second, let's see what's going on. And the angel explains a little bit more. He gives her some details. And he just tells her, look, this is going to be different. I know we've had this conversation. You've heard from your mother, right? He plus she equals three, right? But she's like, hey, there's no he in here, so what's going to happen? And she's like, look, the angel's saying, look, this is totally different. God's going to do something different in your life. And then he tells her the story about Elizabeth. He says, Elizabeth, who was too old to have a baby, she's pregnant 6 months in. And so Mary is hearing these things, and then she hears the angels say these amazing words. Actually, the theme verse for me this year, Luke 1:37, for nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing will be impossible. And so she hears this, and then what does she say? I love what she says after she gets this explanation from Gabriel, verse 38, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord." Here's what she is. Next one here. She is confident. She is confident. Listen to what she says. "Behold, I am." Remember Joseph? Joseph knew who he was, right? Being, it said. Now we have the same thing with Mary. I am. She doesn't say, if you want, or maybe it will. She says, I am. She knows who she is. And we need this. We need to be secure in our identity, who we are. She's secure in that. She says, I am. Are you there today? Are you there? Are you kind of like, you know, me is kind of a fluid concept at the moment. Things are in motion. Or are you able to say, you know what, this is who I am. This is who I am. And then what does she say? She says, I am the servant of the Lord. I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me as you say. And so she knows who she is. First, above everything else, this is who I am. I'm the servant of God. Now, she has an engagement ring on, if they did that. I don't know what they did. But she's got some kind of symbol that says, I'm engaged to Joseph. I'm going to be the wife of Joseph. I am the fiance of Joseph. But that was not greater than, I am the servant of the Lord. She had the priorities right. She's probably thinking, I would like to be a mom of Joseph's children since I'm going to marry him. But God says, oh, I'm going to have your child. Well, that wasn't in the plan, but because I am the servant of the Lord, okay, let it be, whatever you're saying. And so she's actually willing to take all of her plans, all these great ideas that she's had of her life, and say, okay, I offer it to you. I give it to you. I am the servant of the Lord. And so how would you fill in the blank? As you think about yourselves, how would you fill in this blank? I am, what would you say? Hopefully it's the same answer. I'm the servant of the Lord. Before anything else, before being a wife, before being a mom, before being an employee, a sister, a friend, whatever, I am the servant of the Lord. But what would you say? And it's important, and it's good for us to think about this. What would we say in this situation? And so she's confident in who she is. So this whole idea of Joseph and the family and all these things that we're going to be now, poof, she's willing to just let that go, right? She's confident. You know what? I don't need Joseph. Or did she? Did she need Joseph? Let's think about this. I mean, because we could go 100% feminist here, right? So the men, we don't need them. Throw them out. The women can just do it all. We got it all by ourselves. And usually you look around, the women get it all done anyway, it seems like. We're just kind of hanging out. What do I do now? I don't know. Okay. No, but seriously, we're not going to go 100% feminist here, even though it feels like we might in the moment. We can't do that. Why? Because the angel also went to Joseph. Right? The angel went to Joseph. And the angel says, hey, you still got a job to do. It's not your baby, but you get to be the daddy. You see, God wanted Jesus to have a daddy in his life. Not only that, God wanted Jesus to have brothers and sisters. That was going to be important for Jesus. In fact, I don't know if you knew this. There's a passage in Matthew 13 where it talks about the brothers and sisters of Jesus. And so here's a family picture of Jesus and his brothers and sisters. Did you know that Jesus had this family picture? No? So Jesus, I think he's the one in the green because he's not wearing a hat, and they always make Jesus look different somehow in these pictures, right? So there's the four brothers, one, two, three, four, and two sisters. I think there were probably like three or four or five sisters because in Matthew 13 it says, are not his brothers, and it names the four brothers, and then it says, and all his sisters. Well, you don't use the word all for like two. That's both, right? But all his sisters, this is like three, four, five. Mary had a lot of kids. A lot of children, right? At least seven. Anybody here had seven? Want to have a few more? No? Okay. But we can't go 100% and say, you know what? Mary was confident. Yeah, she had everything figured out on her own. She was trusting God. Don't need anybody else. No. It was just the priority, the order that she had correct. Okay? And so whenever she was willing to sacrifice and say, you know what? I don't know what's going to happen, but I surrender all these other things to you. What ended up happening is God gave her those things back. She did get to be the wife of Joseph. She did get to be a mom again and again and again. But her first loyalty was to God. Her first loyalty. I am the servant of the Most High. And this is what we all need to know We belong to him. And we take our dreams, our plans, and we surrender them to him. So you know what? This looks different than what I thought, but I trust you. I hold all these things loosely. I trust you. I surrender them to you. And then allow God to give them back in his time and in his way. Mary got to be a mom. She got to be the wife of Joseph. She got to do the things that she was planning originally. God just had a different way of going about it. So she was confident. She said, I am. Let's keep reading. Verse 39. We'll go through this quickly here. So she goes to visit Elizabeth. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. Now, just by the way, just to think about the steps here. So the angel shows up to Mary and says, you're going to have a baby. She's like, wow, I'm not sure about this. Elizabeth is pregnant. What? Okay, let it be. And it says the very next verse, she goes with haste. There's nothing in here about a conversation with Joseph. We don't know when they spoke, but at some point she tells Joseph, I think it was after this. I think Mary hears that she's going to have a baby, and then she goes, like it says, with haste to go visit Elizabeth. And it says she stays there for 3 months. Let's keep reading. She entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth, verse 41. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry. By the way, everything she says from here on is not from her. The Holy Spirit fills her. So these are words from God. She wouldn't have known these things. So what she says now is straight from the Holy Spirit. Blessed are you, Mary, among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. She hasn't even said she's pregnant yet. She just said, hi. But now Elizabeth's saying, blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? How can she know this? The Holy Spirit told her. For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb, John the Baptist, leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. How could she know all this stuff? What a cool prophecy that Elizabeth's saying just from hearing the word hi when Mary walks in the door. Blessed are you. Good job. Wow, your son is going to be my savior. So exciting. And so we see that Mary was courageous. She was courageous. She believed, it says. Elizabeth saw from the Holy Spirit that Mary had actually believed. This reminds me, if you go back in the Bible, all the way back to Genesis chapter 15, way, 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 way back there, right? When God and he shows up and he talks to a guy named Abraham, and he says, Abraham, you and your wife are really old, but guess what? You're going to be the father of many nations. And Abraham says, okay. And he believes God. It says he believes God, and it was counted to him for righteousness in Genesis chapter 15. Way back there at the beginning. And this reminds me of that. It says she believed God. She believed God. And so she is courageous. She's courageous to trust that God's going to do something that she can't explain. She doesn't know how it's going to happen. And so here's what happened. We said that she was calculating, right? And so what does Mary do? She looks at the evidence. See, sometimes we think of faith as being blind faith. It's not. Blind faith is not, we don't want that. What does Mary do? She looks at the example. She remembers in history. She looks around her. She says, you know what? From what I'm seeing, from what I'm hearing, I trust God. God is better than what I can see. God knows what he's doing. He's stronger. I'm going to vote with God in this situation. And so in your life, when you have these forks in the road, these opportunities to choose which direction you're going to go, are you going to vote with God? Or say, cool idea, but I'm going to do something different. She was courageous. She said, you know what? My vote is with God. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to go on his path. And this is called faith. This is called faith. Now, at Christmas time, one of the coolest things is we get to wear different clothes, right? Now, I'm not a woman. Okay, so I'm really trying hard, ladies. Okay, I'm trying to identify with you. Now, from what I can tell, you get to pull out different accessories, different scarves, sweaters, right? Like boots, you get to get out different shoes for the cold weather. Is this true? Okay, thank you. I'm seeing a couple of nods. I'm like, okay, I'm dying here. It's not true. I'm married to one, I have a daughter, and I had sisters and a mom, so I've seen this routine before. One of the fun things about cold weather is different clothes, yeah. I get to accessorize, I get to do some different looks, wear the red, wear the stuff, okay, yeah. I'm done, I don't have any more on that, okay. But it is fun to see people wearing different clothes and they feel good about it, right? You know what outfit looks the best on you? Faith. When God looks at us and he sees faith, he's like, yes. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But the opposite is also true. With faith, it is possible to please God. The best outfit, the thing that you can wear that God loves the most, he's like, that looks so good. Faith, courage. I trust you. I believe you. Mary was courageous. And so here's the question for us. What impossible thing are we praying for right now? What thing that's too big that you can't figure out a way? What are you asking God for? What are you believing God for these days? Are you walking in courage the way Mary did? Hebrews 11, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For the last one, we're going to look at a different passage, actually in Luke chapter 3. And so I'm going to put the scripture on the screen here just so we can get to this one without you having to try to flip around. And so as we look at this last piece about Mary, I want to look at Luke chapter 3 where it goes through some more about Jesus' background. And here it is. It's giving Jesus lineage just from the other direction. Jesus, when he began his ministry, was about 30 years of age. Being the son, as it was supposed, of Joseph, the son of Heli. How many of you were here 2 weeks ago for the Joseph one? Couple? All right, is Heli the name of Joseph's daddy? Quiz time, right? I didn't tell you there's going to be a pop quiz. Here it is. Heli was not the name of Joseph's daddy. Good answer. Anybody remember the name of Joseph's daddy in Matthew chapter 1?
Oh, David.
David's the way back guy, but who's his actual daddy? Jacob. Great job, somebody. Man, impressive. Jacob is the name of Joseph's daddy. So who is Heli? I'm not going to cuss, but it's right there, right? Who are you? Where'd you come from? Is the Bible confused? Is this a mistake? Just throw the whole thing out because they can't even figure out who Joseph's dad is? What's happening here? Scholars believe that this is not Joseph's lineage. It even says right here, as was supposed of Joseph. Do you know who's actually writing the book of Luke? Luke. That was a tough one right there. Luke is the one writing the book of Luke, and with whom is he speaking as he's getting the story of Jesus' birth and Mary and all this? Who's giving him the interview? Mary. He's sitting with Mary, and he's getting the story. So Luke is Mary's perspective, okay? Whose lineage is this? This is Mary's lineage. And you know where it goes? If we kept on going, it goes to David. It goes to David. That's cool. So God covered his bases on both sides. Joseph comes from David. We see that. Jacob was his daddy, but David, his ancestor, right? Mary comes from David. And so the last point we have here is that she was chosen. She was chosen. She's also from the line of David, and she has to be, because that's where the physical part of his body is coming from his mother. And so as it comes down, we see she's part of the story. And here's what I love. This means before time began, God knew Mary's name. If we look at Matthew chapter 1, we go back and we see the generations. It's 14 generations, it's 14 generations, it's 14 generations to the time of Jesus. And so it's all planned out. God knew from before he ever said, let there be light. He knew the whole story, and that includes Mary. He knew who it would be. She was chosen. And maybe you say, oh, that's cool. Good job, Mary. You had a cool role. But not me. I'm not chosen. And I say, no, you are also chosen. You have been chosen. In the whole story, God knew your name. So I'm not so sure. Okay, let me prove it to you. Thank you for asking for me to do this. Okay, let me prove it to you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. You know this verse. For by grace you have been saved. Read it with me. Through faith. And this not of your own doing. It is the gift of, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. We love those two verses, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. We love that. But we often overlook the next verse, verse 10. Here it is. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Watch this. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What is this saying? God has a plan. God has a plan from the very beginning. He created you, and he knew the good works that have your name on them. Just like he had something for Mary, and that she was chosen for this role, he has something for you, and 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 for you. He has something for each one of us. Whoa! Didn't expect to get that this morning. This is exciting. Whenever we walk with him, he has jobs. He has assignments for you and for me to do. We are chosen. So we can't just say, great job, that's for her, this is for you, and this is for me. So how will we walk out this amazing assignment? How will we find it? Well, he'll reveal it to us. He'll reveal it to us. As we seek him, we will find him. As we knock, it will be open to us. So we seek God. We say, look, I believe that you've chosen me. Help me to see the task. And maybe it's something very simple today. Maybe it's something big, and he'll show you in the right time. But we say, you know what? I believe you've got something for me to do. Here I am. I surrender all that I am to you. And so this morning, look at Mary. What an incredible woman. All these positive attributes. And we can be the same way. We can be the same way by the help of God. As we walk with him, let's pray together. Father, I thank you for Mary. I thank you for this amazing woman who trusted you, who had faith. I thank you for how she kept her eyes on you, was willing to surrender the things that she wanted, and embrace instead what you had for her. So Lord, for each of us, I pray for the women, but not just them, the women, the men as well in the room today, that each of us will learn from her example. We'll keep our eyes on you. We'll enjoy the journey, however crazy it may be. We'll enjoy the journey. We'll trust in the miracles. We'll let you be God and do our part following you. Lord, I pray for those this morning who have not yet begun the relationship with you through Jesus, the one that Jesus came to earth and died on the cross and rose from the dead to make possible that we could know you and be in relationship. I pray that today, they'll decide, I'm not going to just control myself and do my own thing anymore. I'm going to trust Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus. Turn away from my old ways and turn to him. I pray today they can make that decision. And Lord, for all of us, may we be known as your servants, focused, empowered, walking with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand together?